Welcome, everyone. It's nice to have this room being used again. It's probably used for storage a few weeks ago, and it's good to see our friends in the media as well. Some of you we haven't seen in 9 months, so we appreciate you coming down here. The lockout is over, or it's tracking toward being formally over, and we're very pleased with that. As an organization, we're really looking forward to being back on the ice. We really appreciate the patience of our fans, and sometimes in many ways fans' patience can be tested to the limits and sometimes broken, and we hope that hasn't happened here in Buffalo. The relationship we have with our fans is the most important thing in our business, and I probably would speak for the players saying the same thing. So certainly the fans are entitled to an apology from everyone involved in this, and on behalf of the Pegulas and the Sabres, we do apologize that the fans have to go through this. And the thing that I personally, and I speak for myself and probably for most people, the thing I'm most excited about is that this potentially will be a 10-year collective bargaining agreement. We don't have to go through this stuff for a long time, hopefully it won't be the rest of my career, but certainly not for the foreseeable future. And most importantly, the fans don't have to go through this crap for the next 10 years. So we really appreciate the fans' patience. We're back in business. We're looking forward to it. We haven't played hockey in 9 months, and that in and of itself is way too long. Hockey means so much to this area, to this region, to our people, to our fans, to our players, to Terry and Kim Pegula. It's exciting to have it back. New York has over 50,000 kids and young adults that play hockey, which is one of the highest concentrations of hockey in the country, and most of that is in Western New York. So what it means to this region is probably more so than most other places in North America. So we're very pleased to be back, and we're going to do whatever we can to get back on track to the mission that Terry has laid out for us, and that's to win the Stanley Cup. So those are my introductory remarks, and I'll turn it over to Darcy.
No, I would, first of all, it's good to see you. Mike, you probably never thought you'd hear me say something like that. But it is. It is. It's exciting to be back, and I would just say, along with what Ted said, the fans in this community have been outstanding when we bump into them. I feel a lot better about people that work in and around the game, not necessarily directly working for our organization, but whether it's the local pubs, whether it's people that do the difficult work of cleaning or whatever it is, if this allows them to get back to work and make a living and help themselves and their families, I think that's a big deal. So it's a good day.
We want to open up the questions. Mark's got a microphone over there. Krista's over here. Grab it because next, please.
Ted, can you give us the rundown and where we stand right now on timing for things like the schedule, camp? I know you're going to New York for the ratification meeting. Where is all that at this moment?
Tomorrow I'll be in New York. Darcy's going to stay behind because his time at this point is probably a lot more valuable than mine. In terms of the ratification, the anticipation is that we'll be presented with something at the board meeting to vote on. I don't have an agenda yet, so I can't share any of the details to the extent that I'd be able to anyway. In terms of the schedule, we're still waiting on a draft of that. Indications that I have right now are that I think originally our first game, if we had just picked up the schedule cold right now, would have been Saturday the 19th. Everything is a moving target, but as of right now, it looks like that might not be the first home game for us. It may be the following day, the Sunday. But again, it's caveat emptor at this point because I don't have anything firm, but I would like that information in the fans' hands to the extent that they need to make plans. I want to get the schedule in my hands just like every other team does as well, because we need to get tickets distributed. We need to get some tickets sold, and we want to make life easier for our fans that are eager to get down here and make plans to get down here and to make dinner reservations and other things like that that fans do on a game night. But as of right now, it looks like the first game, home game, will be Sunday the 20th.
And training camp?
Training camp, I think, it looks like some either Saturday, Sunday, or Monday right now, Mike, but that's the best we can do.
I have a two-part question. First off, has there been any impact on season tickets? Has anyone canceled their account? Is there a number that you can share in that regard? And the second part, did we stand entering this lockout in a position where we had more to lose than the last time we went through this 8 years ago?
I'm not 100% sure what that we had more to lose in what sense. If I can
in
ask.
Terms of 8 years ago, this was a league that was struggling to find a television deal, for example. The ratings were a lot lower. The attendance was a lot lower. The deal that was with NBC, was there more there that the NHL could potentially lose if there was fallout from the lockout?
Well, I think any time you have a lockout, there's potential to lose your most important part of your business, and that's your paying customer that comes in. For us, you know, our gate is 35-ish% of the revenue, and that's probably plus or minus true for most teams by market. So it's by far the single most important revenue source. And if you piss off your fans to the point that they're not going to buy tickets, then you're shooting yourself. So that's why that part of the business is important. So the longer things like that drag out, the longer you run the risk that people say enough is enough. I think in our market, we're blessed that we have a very strong relationship with our fans, and it's very important that we maintain that. We're a very transparent organization. We are very engaged with our fans at all levels, social media, you know, across the board, from handing out programs to delivering season tickets, and that is and will always be very important to us.
Was there a number on season?
Oh, the season ticket. I think going into this year, we had 50 folks cancel. We have 3,000 on our waiting list. I don't know that that was in anticipation of a lockout, or whether that was job situation or relocation. During the lockout itself, I think 30 accounts maybe canceled, and you know, that's unfortunate, but that I don't know how much of that is attributable to people throwing up their hands and saying I'm done, as opposed to, you know, people could have been relocated or pass away, unfortunately.
Darcy, with the uncertainty, there was really no trade market during the summer. I mean, you know, Derek may have been the last trade, or pretty much the last trade in the whole league. You're going to have a week, basically. Do you see a big market opening up? But this is uncharted territory, or how do you look at that first and second? I know Grigorenko's coming. Who might come into camp from Rochester, too?
Well, right now we have effectively pulled Cody Hodgson and Marcus Foligno out of the lineup in Rochester. And I think those will be the only two that will come out of the lineup for the next few games. And then I think after that we'll have to address the T.J. Brennan situation, since he needs waivers. So he'll come up here at least initially, and we'll have to see how it goes from there.
What kind of market do you see maybe opening up, especially, as I said, since there was none during the summer?
Well, the conversations are starting. I got a call prior to coming down here about we have a lot of defensemen organizationally, and the club that called asked about that, and so it'll start to open up. I think it'll open up in conjunction with trying to understand the CBA, because there are some changes in the CBA. There is the you can move some money, which wasn't allowed in the past. You either took the contract in full or you didn't, and now you have the flexibility of taking some money back in deals. So I think those are examples of things that are going to influence trade, the trade market. But where it comes out, it's an unknown right now.
Andrew? Thank you. This is addressed to Ted. Ted, after the last work stoppage, the team came out of the gate and offered a rollback in prices for the season ticket holders and the single ticket buyers. At this point, have there been any decisions made on pricing?
if there's going to be a change to the previously announced prices for season ticket holders and for single tickets, and also will you be employing variable ticket pricing based on day of the week and attractiveness of opponent as you do with the full season?
Right. Our ticket prices for this year are set, so they won't go up or down in terms of the season ticket holder price. In terms of the variable pricing, that structure will remain in place, and we'll just have to, whenever the schedule comes out, look and reweight the games appropriately. And again, a lot of things right now, top to bottom, are turning on getting the schedule out and also getting a schedule of when the training camp's going to open up. I think that was answered both your questions.
So at this point, single ticket prices as well, the previously announced schedule will be the pricing.
Well, whatever the price was for a bronze game, for example, will stay the same. It's just we may have to say, you know, that game does no longer exist because the date moved and things like that, and the opponents moved. Obviously, if we're not playing West Coast teams, then those things may be weighted differently.
Got it. Ted, as you said, you don't want to go through this crap again in 10 years. Were you guys opposed to this lockout?
No, we voted in favor of it. It was a unanimous vote, I think, as previously reported. So, yeah, I don't want anyone to think that we didn't vote in favor of it. We did.
Was there... A lot of players said there's only five owners running it. Was it the whole time unanimous?
I'm not going to comment on that. I can only speak to our situation, and that was our support for the commissioner was unwavering.
Ted, how are you going to make up to the sponsors who had deals based on an 82-game season or 41 home games?
Well, we'll have to – some of that may be contractual. Some of it might be relationship. Again, we're very blessed with having strong relationships with our fans, and our relationship with our sponsors is as strong. So we've been in contact with them. We had a Christmas party for our sponsors that, you know, I don't know how many hundred were here, but we've maintained a great relationship with them. And if we do anything or represent anything else, we do the right thing, and we'll certainly do the right thing by our sponsors.
Hey, Darcy, as a follow to maybe the comments you made to Paul, looking at this roster now, given the changes you did make, as you look towards a condensed season, whatever, how would you characterize your feelings about this roster, where it stands? Are you satisfied with it, content with it? Are you looking to change it? Describe that, your outlook on that.
I like our roster. I think that if we can find a way to improve on it, we certainly will do that. I think the other thing that will come into play is we're going to look at 48 games, it looks like, in approximately 100 days. And so I think that we've got to be very cognizant of the depth factor, make sure that we've got enough depth organizationally to get through what, in all likelihood, is going to be pretty much a sprint.
Darcy, do you have a firm number right now, like how many guys would come up? Cody and Foligno, you said right away at that point, do several others come up for camp or not?
No, I think that Lindy and I have spent some time on this. The camp will keep the numbers fairly small. If we have an opportunity to integrate the two clubs, we might do that. I don't know how that might work out, whether it was an inter-squad game, and I really don't even know whether that's going to be possible because we just don't have enough details on the CBA at this time. But if we can include the Rochester group without impacting the games that they have to play there, we'll do that.
Do you know a waiver situation yet? Has that been clarified as far as who has to go through, if there's exemptions?
My understanding of the waivers will be as they were in the previous CBA.
Darcy, just from a general sense, can you sort of shed some light on how crazy this is going to be now, from getting this thing ratified to going to training camp to going into the games, just from a hockey side of things, how nuts it's going to be over the next several days?
Well, I think we're essentially going to be playing every other day. So you get a one-week training camp, no exhibition games, and you're just going to roll every other day. So I think the coaches and strength and conditioning coaches and the training staff are trying to figure out the best way to approach that. I mentioned the depth as an example, but rest, conditioning, all of those things are going to be somewhat different than a regular schedule.
I've got a question for both Darcy and Ted separately. Darcy, at the very least, we're looking at hockey now. How relieved and excited, and this, as daunting as the next couple of weeks may be in the season, how refreshing is it to actually have hockey to look forward to finally?
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. It's been good on, I mean, the obvious is the obvious, not playing NHL games, but it's been good in some other aspects with respect to Rochester junior games. I was able to go over to Finland and watch the pre-competition for the World Junior Tournament to be able to see those players, whether it's our own in Armia and McCabe, and I did get to see Gregorenko as well. You know, it gives you added insight into the future that you otherwise, you know, otherwise wouldn't have done. So, our prospects, other teams' prospects. So it's pretty exciting to get going in the NHL now and to get our guys back on the ice. They're excited. They want to come down here and get on the ice as well. We just have to wait for the union, the league, to give us the okay.
And for Ted, it's not just Sabres players, but players around the league have expressed frustration and anger to the point of animosity towards ownership, ownership as a whole, management, the NHL, Gary Bettman. How do you worry that that will be an effect between management and players here in Buffalo, and how do you get past that as a team specifically here in Buffalo?
I hope that some of that doesn't spill over on to Terry and what Terry and Kim Pegula do. I think they it's funny because sometimes you hear people say I'm really mad at the owners, but I love that Terry Pegula. So I think there's the broad brush statements, I'm mad at the league or I'm mad at hockey. When you drill down a little bit, I don't know that anyone has that personal animosity that's directed at our owners, and I would venture, and I've yet to hear any player comment say that, you know, anything negative toward Terry since he's taken over the team, and that's not something we take for granted. It's something that we work hard, and it's you know, those million little things that we talk about doing to connect ownership with our fans and connect ownership with our players, and that's not going to end, you know. One of the cool things I experienced over this lockout was getting Christmas cards from some of the players. I thought that was, you know, open up the mail one day. I was like, yeah, that's really neat. It's neat to see Jordan Leopold's kids and how cute they are. And you know, and I sent out Christmas cards to the players too. Maybe that was a CBA violation to contact the players, but
Drew Stafford was down here, John, yesterday, and I witnessed him and Lindy hugging each other. I think they were just happy to see each other, and that was nice.
Well, he's got to.
Easy. All right. This is a family show. Let's keep this.
Come on, John.
Well, it was good. No, they're excited. He was excited.
Ted, you said that this organization's support for the commissioner was unwavering, and I think, like you said also recently here, there's not a lot of animosity toward Terry Pegula. It's more toward the league, and a lot of people would think Terry might have wanted to play. So my question is twofold. What does the organization, in your mind, gain from the lockout? And secondly, what's in it for the fans? 8 years ago, we basically saw the birth of a brand new league, from style of play to a salary cap that made it better for small market teams. What's in it for fans now?
I think, you know, you start with 10 years. I think a 10-year deal is something that, again, as I said earlier, that's what I'm most pleased about. What's in it for fans now is, you know, we're going to continue. We're back in business. We're back on doing the things that we've tried to do here since Terry bought the team. So what's in it for fans is hope that now we have stability within the league. I think we've certainly have a stability within ownership. The commitment is there. Now the pieces are in place that we're going to fulfill what Terry promised that we're going to do, and that's win the Stanley Cup. Whether it happens this year, I don't know, next year. But as I said before, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen.
And what about the first point? What
what is in it for this organization? Why was this organization in support of this lockout?
We're a member of a club of 30 different clubs, all of one league. And that's, you know, I'm not going to get into the details of it, but that's, we supported all what was in it for all of the league. It's going to vary from club to club. Terry's, how he operates this club and how he decides to direct his resources financially isn't the same in as it is maybe in other cities. So we're a member club, and sometimes we need to do what we think is in the best interest of the entire league, even though it might not be in our self-interest.
Hey, Darcy, can you talk about the decision to bring in Grigorenko, why you decided to bring him in, and how much of it is a let's take a look, and how much of it is a serious shot that if he looks good, he stays?
It really started... You know, we started training camp. He would have been in. We made the decision to put him on a list that we had to provide to the NHL to allow him to come to training camp after the lockout. He was the only player that we did put on that list of the junior players. And it's based on his abilities and his skill level. And that has improved since training camp. He's gotten better. He's gotten stronger. He's competed in more areas with and without the puck. So he's growing, and for him to come in here, the benefit is he's going to get an opportunity to be around NHL players, play with NHL players, get an understanding of what it takes to play at this level. And from there, depending on how he does, we will have the ability to play him in games. I don't know how many games under the existing CBA or the previous CBA. It was 9 games prior to making the decision. That may or may not change, but it'll depend on what we see, how he does, and we'll kind of go day by day.
You don't. How much do you worry about, quote, burning a season, half a season?
Well, it's not at the forefront. It's really about whether or not he can step in and contribute. That'll be the deciding factor. The deciding factor won't come down to whether we burn a year on the contract or not. It's going to be about the hockey club. It's going to be about his ability to play for this team, contribute to this team, and it'll be against the backdrop of him being able to go back to Quebec, which is a very good junior team, and be the guy. And we shouldn't underestimate that learning opportunity either. Patrick Waugh, I spoke with him again today, has done an outstanding job in bringing him along and helping him grow in an environment in which he is the go-to guy. So that's been very beneficial as well.
Hey, this is for Ted and Darcy. And it goes back to the previous point you mentioned about the 10 years, Ted. In exchanging text messages with Ryan Miller on Sunday, one of the things he said was He said it's a real shame we have such a poor relationship with our league as a whole, referencing the length of this lockout. And it's a question that should be put to the players as well, but why should fans have confidence that relationship is going to be restored moving forward?
I can only speak for the Buffalo Sabres. I think Ryan would probably be the first to say that he's got a great relationship with the management here and the ownership. You know, we as individuals can't go out and heal the relationship that exists with players that are on our team. So we kind of control the world we can control, and we have a great relationship with Ryan. We have respect Ryan, and I think it's mutual. I think he has said in the past, you know, comments that he's made about the grass being greener and things like that. I think Ryan likes it here, and whatever animosity he has, again, he used the word league. He didn't say my team.
Well, I think it was a larger issue that he was referring to, not just his specific relationship. Right.
Well, I think that's a challenge that everyone on the league side and individual teams have to do whatever they can to mend that relationship.
Darcy, do you see where he's coming from in those remarks in a broad sense?
I do, because it's obviously unfortunate that no one had hoped that it was going to take this long. But I think on the other side of it, and Ted spoke to it as well, we have 10 years to work on that now, and hopefully it's 10. I'd like to think we'll all take the opportunity to do that.
Back to Grigorenko, there were reports out of Quebec last month that you plan to keep him in junior the whole year.
Was that true? Did anything change these past few weeks with him?
No, there's been no final decision made on Mikhail as to whether he's staying here or Quebec. The reality of an 18-year-old playing in the National Hockey League, if you were to go to Vegas and place a bet on it, most 18-year-olds go back and play junior. Whether it was Tyler Myers, he did that. He played junior and went to the Memorial Cup and then came in here the following year and won a Rookie of the Year in the National Hockey League. And I think we have to be, we have to make sure. I don't look at Mikhail as a one-year player. I look at him playing here 15 or 20 years, hopefully. And the decision we make needs to be based on that more than, a small contribution for the balance of the year. But that doesn't mean that he can't do that. We won't know until we get him in here and get him in the environment and get him to work and see how he fits in, and we'll have to make a decision as we go along from that point.
Darcy, quick player question. Yeah. Just to follow up on what he said, the story that appeared last month that said you had decided to allow Mikhail to stay in Quebec, was that story false or was that true?
Had allowed him to stay in Quebec for the whole year?
Correct.
Oh, that's false. Yeah, no. Just what I said. No decision's been made.
Jason Pomvidal today said he played with Jokin in mm-hmm. Germany. Would Jokin be on the radar as a possibility here?
He remains a possibility, yes. I will speak to his agent about that possibility as well.
And then the third player question is...
What did he say about how Jokin had 13 points in seven games, right?
He said he played on his line. He said he looked healthy, and that's what Jokin told us at the end of the year, that he felt healthy.
Yeah, no, I'm aware he's been playing very well over there.
And then the last question is Tyler Myers. I know he returned last Friday night and played after missing 3 or 4 weeks. Do you have any information, or how concerned are you about how healthy he's going to be to start here?
I can't say it's a concern. It's an open question. It's why we will have physicals. It's an unknown. I we have a number of players that the known are... The knowns are the players that are in Rochester playing. Gregorenko is somewhat of a known, but we don't know how he is in this community, how he will be in with our team. And then we have players that played in Europe, whether it's Sakara, Erhoff, Sulzer, guys like that, Palmer. And so you have a comfort level with the fact that they're playing from at least conditioning. And then you have an unknown of the guys that didn't play, but who knows, maybe they worked harder than anybody else. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, and
certainly
I don't know how it'll play out.
Your red light is up with your main defensive guy being out 3 weeks with an injury, right?
We have some information back that we feel that he'll be ready, but again, that's why you have the medicals, the physicals, and prior to the start of the year.